Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into Long Meadow Church of Brethren today. And for those of you on the other side of the video screen, we have missed you. And we're back. The weather has been kind enough. And today our scripture lesson, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 12, is in support of the sermon titled, Tonight We Ride. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And while you're looking that up, the church one summer had an evangelist come in for a special service. And oh, he was beating the book. He was thumping that pulpit. He was breathing that fire. And he was getting wound up tighter and tighter until finally he was right at the end of his sermon. And he said, and I'll tell you another thing. I think in this town, we should gather up all the beer in this town and take it down to the river and dump it in. We should gather up all the whiskey in this town and take it down to the river and dump it in. And take all the wine in this town, take it down to that river and dump it in. Praise God. And he sat down. And the music leader got up and she was looking pretty nervous while she looked over at the organist. And she turned back to him and she said, would you all please rise and turn in your hymns and sing, Shall We Gather at the River? Matthew chapter 2. Verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, Where's the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied. This is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and make careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. And after they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him out in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day and thank you for these words that come from you. Thank you for letting us be led by them and be strengthened by them. Let us hear them each and in our own way and use them for this week to come. Teach us to walk closer to you, Father, and be more prepared to be ready when that time is called. Let us be the light that you have set in us to those around still trapped in darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Let me be very, very, very clear on three things. Three very clear things. Number one, before I get to them, I want you to understand that I forevermore think that I was born in the wrong time, the wrong era, the wrong century. If you ask my children, sometimes they will agree with you. I don't think I should have been born at this time. Now, I know why I was, but I often think that I live in this fantasy where I should have been born at the time of life to do one of three things. Number one, have my cap on with my hickory stripes and my gloves with the fancy fringe on them as I lean out the window, pounding across the prairies, listening to that ringing steel, thundering a locomotive as hard as it will go, delivering goods and services to the people of the world. I think I should have been a steam engine locomotive engineer. But I was born in the wrong time. I should have been born at such a time when the vast prairies were being broken by the monstrous steam tractors. And I would have been out there standing on the deck, looking out across forevermore, where you can actually see the earth turn, watching the ground turn behind me, smelling that fresh smell of new earth. Or in the fall of the year and in the winter, set up on my engine, thrashing large stacks of grain, watching as it goes day by day, hearing that music. Oh, sorry, got a little lost there for a minute. Or I should have been a cowboy. I should have been. Let me just tell you, let me be real clear. I have read many of the books of Lewis L'Amour. I have read Jack London's Call of the Wild and all of the books that he's put out. And even though people would say, well, Paul, they're not cowboys. Yes, he was. Yes, they were. They were adventurers. One of my favorite all-time books by Dorothy Johnson is The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. Read that book, seen that movie, read that book, seen that movie, read that book, seen that movie. I am, in my heart, even though I really don't know how to ride a horse, and even though the only thing I know to do with horses is clean up after them or work draft horses, I am in my heart a cowboy. I mean, I've seen them all. Whenever I have time, you might find me watching the TV shows Gunsmoke, The Rifleman, The Virginian, and of course, who never, ever has seen an episode of Bonanza? If you haven't seen one, call me. I'll come to your house and we'll watch it. You boys haven't seen Bonanza? I have failed as a father. And there's a good chance, if I'm sitting down to watch a television movie or a movie or whatever, I'm watching one of the following: Tombstone, Silverado, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and yes, City Slickers. And if you haven't seen City Slickers, you're missing out. I've often pictured myself with a custom twin rig, a tooled leather saddle with my name on the side with little fringes on it, wearing chaps with silver buckles and fringes all the way down, wearing that hardy leather coat with my legs slung over my chestnut sorrel, riding off there to curl them cows back in. Come here, little doggies. Sitting there alongside night by the campfire, eating bacon and beans on biscuits, playing my harmonica under the stars, and singing all them good songs. I tell you, I should have been a cowboy. You know, you talk about that. In the movie City Slickers, one of the funniest lines of any movie, if you've never seen it, all these city people come to this ranch to learn how to be cowboys. And the cook has a cook wagon, and it's pulled by horses. And he whirls up to all these duded out people, and he looks at them and he goes, y'all ain't going to get no Novo Riche New Wave Foods here. The food is hot, brown, and lots of it. Yes, sir. That's for me. Let me tell you right now, in all the books, in all the TV shows, in all the movies, in all that moment, when the good guy finally realizes it's time for the showdown, it's time to go and right the wrong, it's time and go bring justice, and he turns to those around him and he says, all right, let's ride. Man, I lose my mind. I'm telling you right now, I should have been a cowboy that knew how to run a steam locomotive that was able to thrash in the off season. That would have been perfect. I got to calm down a little bit, or I'm liable to start quoting all kinds of stuff. But a few weeks ago, or several weeks ago, whenever it was, when Brian Gaber walked in here wearing that shirt of the three wise men with the topic that said, tonight we ride, Most people would look at that shirt and go, well, that's kid. Not me. I saw that shirt and I went, "Fool!" And I could hear it. Tonight, we ride. And it made the Bible come alive. It changed that scripture. It changed these 12 scriptures yet again for me. It gave me a new way to look at it. It gave me a way to excite it. And I got to tell you, if you all think that I did something wrong, I asked God, I said, God, can I look at the three wise men as ranchers and cowboys? And God said, I'm already doing that, Paul. He told me it was all right. See, look, no lightning hit me. Back in that scripture for a moment, we consider what happened at that time. Yes, it was December 25th a month ago, but it's still in my mind the tail end of Christmas. And there is still a story to be told, and there is still something to consider. Yet, we don't just take down the Christmas decorations or pull off the lights or throw the tree out. Yes, this past week, my wife instructed the tree to be taken down and removed, and she and I are not currently talking very much. There's still more to this story. Matthew writes, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, after, during the time of King Herod, magi. These are leaders, these are teachers, these are learned men, these are kings. They've come from the east, it says, to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one? They didn't ask. Now, go back to that verse for a minute. They didn't ask if there is. They didn't ask, could there be? They didn't ask, is it possible? They went to King Herod and said, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. They had no doubt. They had seen something, and they had ascribed to it. And they went back, and they got a hold of the prophecies and the learned things that they needed to know at that time. And they said, this is it. And so they began their journey to arrive to worship who they knew, not know, not maybe, not could be, who they knew was the King of the Jews, who they knew would bring balance to the world, who they knew would save the world from itself. He had been born, and they came to him. Now, you're the king, and suddenly these three dudes from out of town ride up and dismount and tie off at the bar. And they walk into your throne room and they say, all right, we're here to worship the king. Well, I'm right here. Thank you very much. Not you, kingy. We're here to worship the king. He became distraught. He became scared. And the Bible records it. He said, where the Christ is to be born? And they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you little, lowly, no account, no nothing town, you little map dot, are by no means least among the rulers. Out of you will come the ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. He will be the one that brings them back together. And Herod said, when you go find him, come back and tell me, please. This is the plot of every single good old Western movie there is. The bad guy's like, I gotta hold on to everything. You come back and tell me. And they said, all right. And they went back out and threw their legs over their horses. Well, camels, but in my mind, it's horses. And they rode until they found this child. Can you imagine what it must have been like? The Bible records that Jesus was at home now. And suddenly, they open up the door, and there stands three kings and all of their entourage. It wasn't just them three. It was kings and servants and animal tenders and handlers and cooks and chefs, everything. There could have been, and the Bible doesn't record it, there could have been 500 people standing outside that door at that moment. And they look at Joseph. And they look at Mary. And they knock on that door. And they saw the star. And they bowed down to the child the minute they saw him and worshiped him. And gave him gifts of extreme power, of extreme cost, of extreme expense. And then they knew that they were not to go back because that there would be trouble with this child. And they left. There's a story within a story here. I want you to think about these points. Mary and Joseph had no money. They was poor. They was broke. They had nothing. He was a carpenter in a land where it wasn't needed at that time. Three kings traveled forever to find out the truth. There is no real record of what the actual travel was. Some people say that they started out the minute the star appeared at Jesus' birth and traveled for 2 years to get there. But I can tell you this much. They didn't wake up that morning and drive off. They spent weeks, months, and perhaps years traveling, following the star to get to where the king was that they may honor and worship him. They brought their greatest riches they had to honor a king to which those riches were paltry. And they put forth what was needed by God's plan. Verse 13 says, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up and take this child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search and kill this child. He got up and left. So he took this child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. He couldn't have gone on that trip were it not for God's plan. He couldn't have made that run into Egypt were it not for God's plan. And God's plan was to take three super intelligent men of high value and provide with them what was needed to provide for Joseph and Mary to make their escape and be safe. Tonight, we ride. But you see, I would like to offer up that there is still another part of this story. In Mark chapter 10, verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, call him. Call him. Now, we all know that it was the blind man who wanted to see. But in that verse, Jesus said, call him. William L. Thompson, in 1880, was moved by that one verse. Call him. Dwight Moody said that in many of his evangelistic rallies in America and Britain, he needed to use what William L. Thompson had laid down. As a matter of fact, when he was in the hospital and was barred from seeing visitors, Thompson arrived to see him, and Moody insisted that he be let in and told Thompson the following words: that song that you wrote for me, for everyone, for led by God, based on a single verse, will... I would rather have written softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, than anything else I have been able to do in my whole life. He wrote that song, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me. But oh, the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and me. Come home. Come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. The Magi answered. The Magi heard that call. They saw that star. They knew that salvation was at hand. They knew that everyone that came to follow Jesus would be saved. They knew it. And they went to him. Not a man shouting in the desert, but a little baby cooing and crying in his mother's arms, called out softly, tenderly, earnestly. And they came to him. There it is. That star that caused them to raise up and leave everything and spend all that time traveling. They left everything to come see that king. Who else did that? Who else? Billy Sunday in a sermon said there are 256 names given in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ. I suppose this was because he was infinitely beyond all that any one name could express. Who left and came to us that we would come to him? Jesus. He rode away from his home in heaven. He left that starry landscape. He left everything to come there one night to provide that light for the entire world. And those that saw it answered. By simply saying, tonight, we ride. Those three kings gave us a pathway to be reminded that Jesus constantly calls us back. That Jesus left everything and came to us so we could come to him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him, come to him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, if you're feeling lost, if you're on the other side of that camera feeling lost, if you're just spinning away, if it's just too much, then let me offer these three words. Tonight, we ride back to him, back to the safety, back to the King of Kings, back to the child, to the man, to the Savior Jesus, who has us shepherded to him for now and for always. Tonight, we ride. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you have given us so much and that the path is always open, that it does not close day or night, night or day, anytime, anywhere. We just head in that direction and we will find Jesus. If we need him just for a minute, if we need him just for an hour, when we need him, he's there. Even when we don't know we need him, he's there. Father, I thank you so much for these things. I ask that you keep this word in our heart and bless it as we dwell on it in the weeks to come. In the name of Jesus, we give thanks. Amen.